is... Wow! What a week.
What a week. Politics.
Politics.
Eta, welcome to another installment of Wow, What a Week. Hashtag Politics with Fresh and Botsang. If this week in politics and geopolitics was a movie, it would be rated R for ridiculous. The top cop is summoned to court while 12 of his own are in handcuffs. Can you beat that? I'm sure you can. Because AfriForum are waving dossiers. Mbucks is fighting everyone, including the keyboard. And a journalist, we're told, sold a phone number for 500 randa. 500 rand abatu. We're also burying ancestors with presidential honors in Steinkopf, but Sobukwe can't rest in peace in his own grave. There's a lot happening this week. And of course, globally, Trump is handing out 48-hour ultimatums. The Gulf is burning, African wallets, and Maduro, a whole captured president, was back in court earlier this week. Again, a rated R. For ridiculous. Botsang is in the building and we welcome you.
Good morning, Fresh and the viewers. And I didn't know there's a R rating. I thought you would say the movie would have received a double Oscar award because there's a lot happening.
Yeah.
Why is it ridiculous? I think we're living in a mad world led by mad people.
Sure.
If all countries of the world, with the exception of Europeans, are starting to show selfishness and love for themselves. You know, on the way to the studio, I learned something very important that Spain did. Spain announced immediately, while we are facing fuel increases of about 5 rands next week,
yes,
per liter, Spain has given 20 billion euros to gain a cushion.
Yes.
Their inhabitants or their citizens from the crisis in the Middle East, fuel, energy, 20 billion euros. It may not be enough, but it's cushioning the increments they're supposed to experience. It's cushioning energy increments, food prices increments, because they are relying a lot on the Strait of Hormuz for trade and with the Middle East. So Some leaders of the world are really thanking for their citizens.
Happy you to understand that it's going to be rough for every citizen of the world. And it's up to governments to see how they can cushion people.
Yes.
I mean, we're dealing with petrol going up 3 to 4 cents, 3-4 rand a litre next week.
Mm-hmm.
This is on the 1st of April. Diesel, 5 to 7 rand a litre. Electricity up 8.76%. New fuel levies are going to be kicking in all on the same day.
Same day. Yeah, that's the challenge we are sitting in. And I wish we had leaders who could have anticipated this when the war started in the Middle East, because we saw it coming.
Mm.
But also to have a fund, if we have funds to can deal with commissions that we didn't plan for, if we have funds to can deal with disaster management, why wouldn't we have funds as a nation to deal with economic disasters as
sure.
well? Because this is a disaster. We cry when petrol goes up with 1 rand a litre.
In fact,
imagine 4 to 5 rands a litre.
Where went COSATU saying this should be treated like a national disaster?
Because
that's what it is.
Yes.
I mean, the DEA even suggesting cutting the fuel levy in half for now, by half.
For now, cut the fuel levy. For now, go and what do you call it when you take an old mining thing and you recommission it?
Yes.
Go and recommission some of the extra plants that were decommissioned off Sasol, that the apartheid government used to produce fuel from our own coal.
Yes.
We have enough reserves. We can do that. These are the kind of minds we need at the moment as a nation to say, we have the whole of the Karoo, the whole of the Northern Cape that can generate energy. What can we do as a nation to can use our natural God-given assets,
yeah,
like the sun and the space.
Yeah, but that's what Minister Mantashe was saying, though, that we've got the resources. If it means we have to drill, and bore, we must do that.
Find oil.
But there's also the situation where You're also fighting with NGOs that are saying, but if you're fracking or if you're drilling off such and such a coast, then what of the environment? What of the fish? What of biodiversity and protecting the biodiversity?
But so it's almost responsibility.
So it's like we're caught between a rock and a hard place.
Well, I don't know how we are going to survive fresh. And this is where you see that the Chinese are having a vision. You know, I always tell people, in 50 years ago, China sat in a meeting to say, 50 years, the world will be a mess. What can we do as China to can take advantage of that mess? China is the biggest producer of electric cars at the moment. They are the biggest consumer of oil or user of oil and importer of oil, but they produce more electric cars because they probably predicted that we may be in this situation in the world today. So all of us, we must actually sell our vehicles and run to buy Chinese electric vehicles. Then we don't have to deal with the cost of fuel.
You know, Denmark, because they have a lot of wind power wind turbines.
Yes.
You know that in Denmark, there are days where electricity is free because they've generated more than what the demand is.
Yes, I learned that.
And that there are days where your bill is negative because they're generating so much renewable
and,
power.
And when I learned that, because they use a lot of windmills.
Yes, they've got windmills, yes.
Yes. When I learned that, I learned something from scientists. I'm like, why don't they store it for better? And I didn't know that you can't store electricity.
You can't.
Yes. I'm like, what do you mean? You can't store electricity.
Well, you can store it, but the battery power that you'd need to... But remember we had this conversation before where I was saying that I've had solar for about 7-8 years.
Mm.
And the frustrating thing about it is even in winter, even on a semi-cloudy day,
yes.
By 10 a.m. my batteries are full.
Yeah.
So now I'm generating power for nothing.
For nothing, yes.
And enter the reversible meter that, the sooner we can have a system that, one, we know that my installation meets whatever the standard is.
Mm-hmm.
Because I agree, that's why they're saying that you need to have someone who's approved and accredited to do the installation.
Yes,
so that the day you have reversible meters, you're not putting dirty energy back into the grid.
Yeah.
But that's where there's an opportunity for people who are producing excess power, put it back in the grid. But by 10, I'm producing electricity I can use.
And your neighbor does not have electricity.
And I can't say
you have not enough capacity.
Yes.
Of your batteries are full. Little capacity.
And those batteries are full for the whole night. So I use them overnight, and then in the morning, you start all over again. But by 10 a.m., I'm producing electricity for nothing.
So for over a year, you had excess electricity in your house while I was living in darkness.
No, but Akere, if you can find a cable from Centurion to North Riding, Ngau Bridge...
Anyway, bro, sorry for bringing the Spain topic took me. You know, I'm like, wow, what a responsible government.
Mm.
And remember, this is the government that was anti the war.
Yes.
That said to the U.S., the first to say to the U.S. before Italy and others to say, no, bugger off, we are not getting involved into this. But yeah.
Yeah, we're eating into our time. Yes. Anyway. So Police Commissioner Fani Masemola has been subpoenaed.
Yes.
Obviously, 12 of his senior officers... But now they've been charged.
Yeah.
There's a big uproar. People saying Police Commissioner Masemola must either be recalled, he must step down in the interim, or he must quit even, is what people are saying.
Yeah.
But my understanding of a subpoena is we want you to come and give additional information.
Yes, yes.
He has not been accused of anything or charged with anything.
Yes.
So given that... Why would people want him to step down? Yes, the people are saying, according to the PFMA, he should have exercised some sort of oversight and that this tender should not have gone as far as it did, despite the fact that he's the one who cancelled said tender.
Well, we don't know yet, Fresh, that the Public Finance Management Act, which we normally call PFMA,
yes,
we don't know if he has contravened it because the matter has not been heard. But I like the way, and we spoke about it on 98 FM during the week.
Mm.
I like the way you correctly use has been subpoenaed, because when somebody has been given summons, technically, there's no difference between summons and subpoena, but yes. It's an order to say you must appear. But summons, they will be with charges. And whether they are criminal or civil charges or whatever, of this is the things you have committed, possible sentence, come with a lawyer. It's a criminal process.
He's been charged with
that. He's been charged with that. But with the subpoena, and I don't know why the public, the media, and those who communicated this didn't use the word subpoena. Because the first thing that happened, people were like, Haibo, why is he being given 21 days or more than 20 days to can come to court with a date? Because normally when you are arrested, you must appear before the court within 24 hours and then you apply for bail. But this is not the case. That's the first thing. He is not being charged of any corruption, maladministration, or being associated with the 12 other officials that were arrested the day before his subpoena. Now, one thing that happened during the course of the week, that if you could see that this matter has been well planned, the arrest of the 5 of the 12 police officers, the arrests happened the day before, and they were actually arrested in their offices, in their headquarters. These are 5 officials from the lowest ranking officer of the supply chain management or the bid committees of tenders to the highest ranking, who's a lieutenant colonel. The other 7, some are on suspension, one is retired, and they've always been suspended or charged and facing other charges and disciplinary hearing, like being at the Madlanga Commission. Now, once you have been charged officially, the police act prescribes that the police commissioner must suspend you from work. And that's why he only got his subpoena after he suspended those officials. The afternoon after. So it's procedural. Because it is his responsibility. The second part is, I spoke to people in the police service, and at the beginning when it went to the media, they did not know what kind of subpoena or someone he received, because as National Prosecuting Authority did not inform the police. You have to inform the person first, then come and answer. So there's different classifications of summonses of the court. And once they come to you to say, come and explain this, they became very clear when people started questioning to say, no, it's not a matter of he's being charged for corruption or maladministration or what. He is being investigated and questioned to come and explain non-adherence to the Public Finance Management Act. And that we knew about it. This case, for the benefit of our viewers and followers, did not start because of the Madlanga Commission.
So this has been a ball in play already?
It has been a ball in play where IDEC, the police investigating unit, after it was identified by the auditors 2 years back, the internal auditors of South African Police Services, in doing their routine work of internal audit, they discovered that the tender that was awarded to Mr. Matlala, Vusimusiket Matlala, and his companies for healthcare services of police people, the wellness tender of police officials, was not awarded properly or procedurally. That's what the auditors picked up 2 years back. So what auditors do is they will then inform the police commissioner as the head or the accounting officer to say, we are picking up irregularities under your administration. What General Masemola did, he then, first I've read that he acknowledged receipt of that audit report. Then he instituted an internal investigation to check what would have went wrong, who could have done wrong.
Yes.
And when it became clear to him that who did wrong, who was involved, he first instituted the investigation, then he suspended some of the people. And then he immediately, when he had reached that point, cancelled that contract. When it became clear to him.
So when it satisfied himself.
And I'm saying to people, there is nothing wrong. You can, as a chief accounting officer, whether you're a DG, a CEO, or a commissioner, you can't, when there's a report making allegations of, and then you act solely on the basis of that report, because you also don't want to break other laws, like the labor laws, you know, like procedures. What did you do when this matter was brought to your attention as the National Police Commissioner? I instituted an internal process to check and identify what went wrong and by who. And then once he was satisfied with that, the first thing he did, he canceled that contract. And that's why we end up with such contract being exposed to the public place, and we have the Madlanga Commission. So part of finding Masemola doing his job, whether time he has lieu or not, it's what we will hear when he goes to court on the 21st. I think it was time he has, not politically time he has, but prescription according to the regulations of the condom, how to investigate these things. And that's what he's supposed to be answering to. So now, if you are in that kind of a situation, you don't have to be suspended from your duties because you are not charged.
Yes.
And you also don't have to be told to resign. Resign from doing what? And that's where the challenge is. So people must be able to differentiate what has come out in the Madlanga Commission vis-a-vis what the police commissioner is going to answer to. Contravention or non-adherence to the Public Finance Management Act. It's not that you are corrupt or it's a criminal offense. You must come to answer. It means you neglected your duties.
So, for instance, let's say the argument is he neglected his duties, then he can turn around and say, I acted as soon as I was fully satisfied that this thing was untoward. There was something untoward about it. But yes, in the interim, a payment was made.
Yes.
And there's nothing I could have done to stop that payment because I still needed to satisfy and tick every box before I decide that I need to stop this thing.
Absolutely, yes. And, okay. And look, you also don't want to be reckless.
Yes.
And act without satisfying yourself, because then you may also be charged to say you have brought the organization into disrepute by refusing or failing to pay for the services that were rendered, because services were rendered.
Yes.
By this company. That was not questionable.
Yes.
What is questionable is, yes, they rendered that service and they invoiced the monthly or quarterly payment they required. But for them to have received that contract from the very beginning, it was wrong.
Yes.
And therefore, I'm dealing with that. But it does not say, in the meantime, while I'm investigating,
if they send an invoice, it will get paid. They send
an invoice. And before conclusion of the investigation, now what will normally happen is, that's where the SIU, at the end of the whole investigation and cancelling of the contract, that's why the Special Investigating Unit and the Asset Forfeiture Unit, they will come into place to say that 30 million that was paid for that invoice, it was paid to wrongly what? So how are we going to reclaim that on behalf of the state? Which assets will we confiscate in order to recoup the money? That's why we have those processes.
Hey, because now for me, I mean, the minute people stand up and say, look into this thing, it's not proper, or it was not awarded according to the standards that we've set. Mm-hmm. And I stop it immediately. Mm. Now I'm opening myself up to litigation from the company that rendered the service. So it's almost like he's damned if he doesn't, he's damned if he does.
Yes, but like I said, if there's anything additional or unbecoming that we don't know about, we'll hear when the matter is before.
It'll come out in the wash.
It will come out. You understand? Yes. But where I'm sitting with the information that we have, whether from the police service, I won't rely on the media, you know, or What is the court going to say? What will be before the court? Because I think if the National Prosecuting Authority had evidence that he is involved or he benefited or he contributed to awarding that contract, they would have charged him directly like they did.
He'd be in the dock with the other 12.
With the other 12, you understand? He will be in the dock. But again, Fresh, you know, having been in the public service for many years, you know, at some stages, head of corporate services, managing millions of budget, you have people that are working under you to be head of corporate services or head of department or DG or CEO. You have a CFO, chief financial officer. You have senior managers finance, senior managers and officers at supply chain management. Those people were employed either by you or by the state to can do the technical aspect of the job, to can do the professional aspect. The commissioner oversees the whole thing. Yes, he's the chief accounting officer, but if you are going to present tender documents to me as the commissioner or the CEO or the DG, I don't have to go to the nitty-gritties of checking whether you followed, because I trust you.
Yes.
You are hired to do your work. Mm. You bring records to me and a report to say we have done through this process. We form a committee of four people. We shared the documents amongst us. We evaluated this bit and we have come to a conclusion based on the records we are putting before you. we have come to the conclusion. Then you trust your lieutenants, you trust your people. Now, if it is a sin or a crime to trust your subordinates and professionals in your work, then why do we need them?
Yeah.
In a sense. So it's an element of, was he misled? Was he aware or not? Which I think he was not aware. I think he was misled. And therefore, he has to take action against those. So let's wait until the 21st. But I disagree with political call out that he should resign.
I agree with you.
It's too early. I agree that he should be suspended. Maybe, I suspect, with honor from him, he can go to the president and the minister and say, President and minister, let me step aside while
While we resolve this.
While we resolve this.
I'm not admitting any guilt.
Exactly.
But let me, in the interest of the office and the integrity of the office.
Yes.
Eric, step down, Inyana, or step aside.
Yes.
Until it's sorted.
Until it's sorted.
But by the time we go live, this episode goes out Saturday morning at 8.
Yes.
Chances are Minister Kachalia and the president would have met and made a statement on this.
Yeah, I think they would have met. I've reliably learned that Mr. Kachalia had actually drafted a proposal to the president. And as you said earlier, you also don't want to break labor relations rules or laws. You don't want to go and fire and suspend people illegally. Then you are sitting with a suspended police commissioner for the next 3, 4, 5 years because now you are fighting labor lawsuits and not the matter. People are already calling for you need to have somebody acting. Who's going to be acting when almost everybody in the police service, top brass, his own deputy commissioner,
his generals,
the generals, they are suspended and what. You know, I think if I was just thinking, if they want an acting commissioner, what should they do? I think they should do, the president should do what he did with Kachalia. I'm not a supporter of appointing Professor Kachalia on the post because I still believe the president did something wrong constitutionally. But get somebody from outside. You have well-decorated police officials who left or are retired because they could not be corrupt, you know, who were in those positions before and they don't have any scandals. They acted professionally. I was just thinking, maybe you should go and get a woman to be a police official general. But I remember there was a woman.
Mama Pierre.
Pierre. But she was not a police, a professional, a career police.
In fact, but that brings us then to, this question. For a police commissioner, do you want a career police person or do you want someone who kicks butt at administration and can keep the police system going?
I like the part where you said somebody who can kick butt at administration.
Yes.
And if you look at the history of our police commissioners, I think you want a public administrator.
Yes.
Very straight. And I think the mistake we did, you remember there was a Jackie Silebi, even jailed. Then there was a commissioner who became a minister, Becky Trele. Very good in operations, but bad administrator. Although he was cleared for what he was alleged about the building, he was cleared. We must know that. Then you have Pahlani, case again, who negotiated a way out. He said, I'll leave, pay me out. Before Pahlani, there was Ketla or somebody. There was another one who was also dismissed. He lost his case 2 weeks ago in the labor court.
Sitole,
yes. So that position is a hot potato. Then you had Mayor Pierre, who was never charged with anything serious, but when you look at what happened, there was the under her watch. There was Marikana. That was very bad. But she was also a social worker, not a public administrator, not a police. I think the current Fanny Masemola, in my observation, I think he's one of the good administrators. You don't need a hot head there because police people are supposed to be combat people, law enforcers. So you need somebody like Masemola. I think having him there has actually to diffuse a situation where, you know what Mkhwanazi once said, police were going to point guns at each other police. I think the character of Masemola there has helped the situation. But this reminds me two or three of the people that maybe Yaka fired when they were great administrators. There was a Dr. Leah Mufume who was there, who was the head of corporate services, finance, ITC, left the police service clean. They're sitting outside. There was General Libya, if you remember, he was one of those who was pushed out. And they won their labor cases in court after being pushed out. And these are professionals who were not implicated into wrongdoings. Maybe it's time to call them back to say, come and fix the administration in the interim.
Sure.
As professionals, they were career police people, but they went to study professionally to be doctors in administration and administrators. So these are the kind of people you need to stabilize the police service. You don't need a hothead, but you also need a non-corruptible person to be able to sort this out. And let's hope that our police service, you know, we'll stabilize at some stage. We need that as a nation.
Absolutely.
And President Ramaphosa must be decisive as well. He must not be reckless. This is the time I actually admire President Ramaphosa's slowliness.
Applying his mind.
He's taking long to apply your mind because it is very dangerous now to rush to apply your mind on such critical issues. The police is already disrupted, the police service.
Especially also when the language used was very, very, very clear. It's a subpoena for you to come to court and give us information.
Yeah.
It's not a charge of any wrongdoing.
Anyone.
So based on that alone, I think it would be jumping the gun to now pull the trigger.
Yeah, don't pull the trigger.
And say fire. Let's talk about AfriForum private prosecutions versus Secretary General Mbaks. So AfriForum are leading the charge for the NPA to prosecute Mbaks for fraud, corruption, and money laundering related to a December 2016 Dubai family trip.
Yes.
They are also opening a crimen injuria case against Mbaks for statements against Bergview College principal Jaco Pieterse, who was falsely accused of raping a seven-year-old girl.
Yes.
First things first, why is there a need for private prosecutions if we have an NPA?
You will recall that some few years back, the same AfriForum, supported by the Democratic Alliance at that time, as well as few NGOs, they approached the court and then the Constitutional Court to say the NPA or the Prosecuting Authority of South Africa, it's not biting, it's not doing what it's supposed to do. And therefore, it became a case and it became law in the country that South Africa is one of the few countries in the world, less than 10, that people can go and on a private prosecution. Like you don't use the normal state channels to go to the police, then the police, you go to NPA. Because there were cases that were pure and ready to go for prosecution, to go to court. And the NPA would not act on those cases for various reasons.
And more often than not, it would be the likelihood of a prosecution is next to zero.
Yes.
So we're not going to prosecute.
Yeah, and then, so, and that's what they would say.
Yes, and in a case like that, then you would demand a nulli prosequi certificate that then gives you the go-ahead to proceed when ourselves, since we are not...
there's no case.
Since it's been nullied, we will give you a nulli prosequi certificate.
Yes.
But you can go ahead and do it.
And do whatever
if you think there are chances of a conviction.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. But if you look at the cases that were held and the nulli certificates were issued, mostly it was people who were politically aligned.
Yes.
It was more like, I'm not touching my comrade, because whether we like it or not, our prosecuting authority, the same as the public protector, they are appointed by politicians. And most of the time, there'll be people aligned. If you remember the Scorpions, if you remember the National Director of Public Prosecutions, the very first ones, they were politically aligned.
So you're saying justice is not always blind?
No. Justice is not always that. Fresh, let me tell you. You see, that's why General Mukwanazi made an accusation of the entire a justice process system, because it starts with the police to investigate. And when they think they've investigated, they hand over a file to the National Prosecuting Authority for them to decide whether there's a prosecutorial case or not. And then once they've prosecuted, then they go to the judicial authority, which is the court. And for me, the NPA plays the central role in this whole thing. Now, AfriForum are making a lot. There's a whole lot of cases that are happening in the country. This one that you are mentioning against Mr. Fikile Mbalula, by the way, I don't know why you assume that people who watch the show know who Mbaks is.
Oh, okay, so Secretary General of the African National Congress, Fikile Fix Mbaks.
Yeah, he's known as Mbalula, yes. So the reason AfriForum is taking it, look, they've been at loggerheads with Fikile Mbalula.
In fact, AfriForum have even gone as far as asking the U.S. to invoke the Magnitsky Act to sanction Mbaki individually.
Yes.
They've gone that far, telling America, punish him and not South Africa for any issues that you may have.
Yes.
And Mbaki has turned around and said, not only are they racist, they're also undermining the sovereignty of the country by now dragging America into our business.
Because America has, I don't know what it's a law, it's a practice whereby they can interfere in the affairs of another country against an individual.
Yes.
Where they can actually take Mbaki from here or issue a proclamation in the U.S. to say, the day we get him or he comes a week, they can arrest him and charge him in our courts.
Yes, the Magnitsky Act.
Yes. Yes. It's an act. Yes. Yes. So that's why the AfriForum has approached the U.S. And we are not saying it's right. We are explaining how they are using and or wanting to use this act from the U.S. But with these two cases, first, quickly to explain to the viewers, what are they? You mentioned the first one is the 2016, when one of the companies that were doing business with the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, he was the minister at the time of Sports, Arts and Culture. He benefited with his family. Like they flew him and his family on a holiday, paid holiday to Dubai and many other extra things. Now, what is important about that case, and this is where the NPA is found to be wanting, another state entity, the public protector, where this matter was reported by whoever to say, we have Minister Fikile Mbalula who benefited with his family from a company that is doing business with his department. The public protector of South Africa, the public protector's office, they came with a report, a very damning report, and they found wrongdoing. They actually had said he was not supposed to do business, that he didn't declare that business. He denied when he was caught or when he was exposed. Therefore, he should be facing prosecution. There's a recommendation of a disciplinary against the minister, the then minister, Mr. Fikile Mbalula. But what happened was, as it always happened in politics, Mr. Mbalula was moved out of that portfolio to another portfolio, you understand? And that's where AfriForum comes in to say, no, we are going to prosecute him privately because, and you know, I think they will get it. They will get authorization to do that because they are being supported by the public protector's report. You know, it may be racist, it may be AfriForum is against Fikile Mbalula and the ANC, but I don't want to look at it politically. I want to look at it, what is before us, what is going to be before the courts. There is a public protector's report that they are relying on, despite the allegations. There's an official report of the state.
But actually, they have a NOLI certificate anyway.
Yeah, they already have that, but they have added another one now. The second charge that they are going for him for, is the one
criminal injury
against the school principal that you mentioned.
So for those that missed who need context, Bergview College, a 7-year-old child disappeared.
Yes,
and there was uproar on social media. The principal was cited as possibly the guy who did the deed. And it got messy, and we only found out later that he wasn't even in the vicinity.
In the vicinity,
at the time of this 7-year-old girl being violated.
Yes.
And that's how we ended up here.
Yeah.
Because, and a lot of political people, I feel, maybe knee-jerk and wanting to weigh in while people were riled up.
Well, yes, yes.
And I pointed fingers at the principal.
At the principal, yes, yes. Because it was alleged. And you know, I must say, there was a lot of racial terror.
It became
a race issue.
Yes.
We are a country, probably West country, when it comes to sexual molestation of women and children in this instance. And the fact that the alleged person, by social media, by people, by family and friends and those, was a white school principal.
Yes.
It now became a racist issue. And politicians jumped in. Because at that time, political parties like Freedom Front Plus, AfriForum, they actually stood up to defend the school principal. Probably they knew, one, he was an African and white person, but probably they knew and had facts that he's innocent and he didn't make noise. And then at that time, Mr. Mbalula issued a public statement, a very detailed, and you know, fresh yesterday or sometime during the week when AfriForum had, it was repeated yesterday on the news, AfriForum had a press conference when the police were being arrested for for the corruption of Matlala's company. AfriForum had a parallel press conference, and they actually read the entire statement of what Mr. Mbalula said. Let me tell you, that's very serious. To call a person an old child molester, imagine a racist white man having sex with a seven-year-old little girl and all that. That is very serious. And he said those things before there were arrests, before there was a trial.
It was still a social media frenzy.
And I think that was very reckless of Mr. Mbalula, and AfriForum is going for him because of that. But for many other things as well. There's many other cases that they are going to court for. Now you can see what is happening. Again, our courts are not, or our prosecuting authority is not utilized extensively. There's commissions that are replacing or acting, doing what the judiciary was supposed to do. And then there's the private prosecution by a lobby group like AfriForum. For me, it either undermines the prosecution and judicial system, or it exposes the weaknesses and the failures of our prosecution and judiciary. You know, it's either it's being undermined or it's being weakened. It shows how weak they are. They can't, because what explanation can we as a nation give why Mr. Mbalula was not charged after the public protector's recommendation? What answer do we have? What I want to see, what is the NPA going to say?
I'm a bit confused, though, about them also wanting the U.S. to invoke the Magnitsky Act and have Mbalula sanctioned and denied visa access to all things America. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Because it almost feels like these people want America to start being involved in our business at a deeper level than what it is already.
Gradually, that's what they are doing, Fresh. If you recall when America started making the noise about genocide in South Africa.
You know what I feel like? I almost feel like they know that America has a problem with, and I'm going to turn it into a race thing, with this black government.
Government, yes.
And they know that for America, it's low-hanging fruit.
Yes.
That if you can come running to us with anything about those darkies running that country, we just might act.
But again, I think AfriForum is undermining the intelligence of African people, whereby even those who do not like Fikile Mbalula.
Yes.
People will start saying, my country first.
Yes.
I don't care who is wrong, but I'm not going to allow the United States of America to dictate to us who should be prosecuted or go to jail.
Exactly.
And they're undermining that part. And I see African people or blacks in South Africa rising and saying, not in our country, not in our name. Leave us alone. Because why would AfriForum, when they've got tools and access to the justice system, they drag America into this?
And if anything, this is one of the healthiest democracies in the world.
Yeah.
But they still want to run to America.
The worst democracy in the world.
Where democracy in motion is not a catchphrase you use in the U.S. right now.
It goes back to what they did in the past. It was AfriForum that said there's genocide in South Africa. It was AfriForum that went to Donald Trump and say sanction ANC leaders who are corrupt, yet they've never been convicted of any corruptions like Nomvula Mokonyane and many others. But it's a whole world racial thing to say that black government or black-led government in South Africa, we can't manage it. We can't control it the way we do in other countries.
They're not manageable.
They're not manageable. So let's actually deal with them individually to frustrate the situation.
For those that don't know, the Magnitsky Act is a bipartisan U.S. law originally targeting Russian officials responsible for the death of auditor Sergei Magnitsky. The subsequent Global Magnitsky Human Rights Accountability Act of 2016 allows the U.S. to impose visa bans and targeted economic sanctions on foreign individuals or entities globally involved in human rights abuse or significant corruption.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's the Fikile Mbalula thing. Is it human rights abuse? Is it significant corruption?
Yes. Obviously, it falls under significant corruption, according to them. And the purpose of the act is to punish perpetrators of gross human rights violations and corruption by restricting their access to U.S. financial systems and entry into the country. They're also authorized to freeze assets and prohibit transactions with designated individuals or entities.
Yes, and those assets, even if they are not in the US,
yes,
let's say you have assets that are held in a bank of Germany or bank in England, America can actually instruct that bank to freeze your assets. And they've done it many times with many leaders in the continent. And in doing, or else they were threatening that bank to say, then you won't do business with you in the US.
So how does it work then when Donald Trump and his billionaire friends are blatantly jippoing the system to benefit themselves?
Yeah.
You know, I would be surprised if, remember when he made that statement that we're in talks with Iran.
It was during the early this week.
And the markets rallied.
Yes.
And then Iran said, no, we're not in talks.
Yeah.
And then the markets almost took a slight dip.
Yes.
How do we know that he did not say to his billionaire friends, guys, I'm about to press send on a social media post. So buy up. And then I'm going to hit send. And then obviously the markets are going to rally. And then Iran, you must sell before Iran nibat
labhari. Yeah.
How do you know they didn't do that?
Well, Fresh, you know, you said that in passing sometimes during the week. But on Wednesday evening, Thursday morning.
Yes.
Trump came back, actually, and I was laughing, and said, oh, by the way, after I said we are talking to Iran,
yes,
to say we have benefited very well from our, even after Iran said, but we are not talking to these people.
Yes.
He even said, we have benefited so much money and oil dealers during this week of no war. First of all, the war has been continuing.
Yes.
Secondly, it talks to what you alleged, to say, these people probably invested money for 48 hours.
Hence, I'm saying that the shamelessness of the looting and corruption far out overshadows any looting or corruption of any modern day world leader. How are they not being sanctioned? How are they not having to deal with the Magnitsky Act?
Because the act is to target foreign nationals.
But surely there's a similar act within the US.
No, there is. There's a domestic act internally, yeah, but Trump is breaking every law in the US.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Sanef. Sanef made a statement, basically raising questions about the case Sierra Natasha Phiri.
Yes.
She's a South African Broadcasting Corporation journalist and reporter.
Yes.
And she was mentioned at the Madlanga Commission this past week by Sergeant Fanny Nkosi.
Yes.
Sergeant Fanny Nkosi said he asked her for a blogger Musa Kaula's number.
Mm-hmm.
She sent the number. And then she, according to the records, then sent a message saying, how, not even a thank you, nyana, sis.
Mm.
And then there is a record of a transaction of 500 rand
yes.
that was sent to her.
Yes.
I'm asking this question because obviously the SABC have put on a precautionary leave until we get to the bottom of this.
Yes.
I don't know that 500 Rand was for the phone number. Yes, she should not have handed over a phone number of someone not knowing what it's for and without the permission of said person.
Yes.
But I don't know that the 500 Rand was for the phone number, because if I'm going to buy a phone number from you, it's worth more than 500 bucks.
Yeah.
Now for me, it almost smells like these people know each other anyway. And I can almost guarantee you, if you were to look back in history, it's probably not the first time money was sent to her.
Absolutely. Look, first of all...
So, and again, I'm not trying to defend or justify any of the actions between the two.
Yeah.
But I don't know if 500 Rand was to pay for a phone number.
The South African National Editors Forum, primarily it is the organization or representatives of editors and media people.
Yes.
You know, it's an organization that is supposed to look at the interests and the conduct of media people. And they came out very strongly to say, in order to keep such things, they don't endorse such happenings, but they are applauding the South African Broadcasting Corporation, SABC, for putting Ms. Natasha Phiri on, what do they call that, on a precautionary suspension or leave while they're investigating this allegation. How did the allegation, actually, we must be clear, there is no allegation here. There's facts that were provided for during the Madlana Commission when Sergeant Fanny Nkosi was being given testimony about many things he did. One of the things that the investigators of Madlana Commission and the prosecution leaders or evidence leaders had found in many of his wrongdoings, because it has become clear to us that he has done very wrong, many wrong things in line of his duty. One of the things he did in the past was sharing information to alleged criminal cartels or people that, what do you call him, a bloggist, Musa Kawula.
Musa Kawula is a blogger and he often publishes people's personal and deeply personal information or the shenanigans or the goings-ons in their lives.
So some of the people who were upset with Musa Kawula, it's people whose names have come up in the Madlanga Commission.
Sure.
So along the lines, Sergeant Fanny Masemola, one of the things he had done was when Musa Kawula was arrested and his charge sheet or docket was out, he had nothing to do with the case. He was not working on the case as Sergeant Fanny goes, but he had access to that for whatever reason. So he shared some of that case records.
With her?
No, before her, with the criminal cartels and so forth. Now, in the Madlanga Commission investigating that, they had to go and check where did he get Musa Kawula's name and cell phone number and all that. Then they discovered that the number was provided through a WhatsApp communication by Miss Natasha Phiri.
Yes.
So there was a request from Sergeant Fanny Nkosi to Natasha Phiri to say, can you please give me Musa Kawula's numbers if you have? Now, what you currently say is, it is wrong, or I will find it to be wrong, that I can share or she shared Musa Kawula's number with Sergeant Nkosi without Musa knowing or checking with Musa Kawula first that, can I share your number with such and such a person? It will be wrong. But I want to agree to say, after that, when you send somebody's number, because she is claiming or even finding Nkosi, the sergeant says, no, but we are friends. I asked my friend. He didn't say because she's a journalist. Said, it's my friend that I know. She knows Musa.
Yes.
That's why I ask her for the number. Now, friends asking friends for a number, there's nothing wrong with that. What will be wrong is if you want that number maliciously and you are going to use it to spy on people or to intimidate people or to threaten people. That will be wrong.
Sure.
The act after. Then along the lines, as you explain, when the Madlanga Commission investigators presented this evidence before Mr. Fanny Nkosi, they said, but after you receive the number, Miss Natasha Phiri sent a message to say, oh, you are not even saying thank you, sis. You understand? You are not thanking me.
And again, me saying, and you're not thanking me, is it me saying, send me a thank you? Or did he fail to say, thanks for the number?
Yeah, that's a question debate. And if it's a simple message, not even a thank you, it is human nature that when somebody, you ask for a favor and somebody do you a favor, you say, oh, thank you, oh, I've received, thank you. You understand? So if he went silent only and subsequently he decided to send the 500 bucks that she didn't solicit or request. You see, for me, if she had requested the money or solicited a material, even if it's not money, any material thank you, that's a different ballgame.
Hence I'm asking that, because if these people were not friends, then I can tell you right now that whatever information needed to be paid for would not have been 500 bucks.
No, it would have not have been, never, no. I've worked with Natasha Phiri. We are personal friends. I know her very well and very closely. She's a very seasoned person. And I spoke to her after this whole thing. You know, we spoke open and said, but I'm not worried about this. And by the way, we are friends with this guy. And I personally said to her, nothing that came out of Madlanga Commission that you asked for money over a bribe. And it looks like if somebody can send you money that way, it must have happened before.
And hence I'm saying that I'm almost certain that if you look back at the records or bank records, you might find that this is not the first time she's been sent money.
I can,
and secondly, is there a direct link between the 500 rand that was sent and the not even the thank you cease. Because I could have been sending you money anyway.
Anyway.
But is it linked to the not even a thank you cease?
Fresh, where we are sitting.
And did not even a thank you cease activate the sending of the 500 rand?
Yeah. Where we are sitting.
And how much is a phone number worth? Because I'm sorry, if I needed a phone number for whatever reason, and you need a number from me and you're willing to pay for it, I'm not sending you 500. I'm not taking 500 bucks from you.
Yeah. And
did she send a message after that to say, only 500?
Only 500, yes, to complain.
You see, because I think we need to look at the bigger chat to fully contextualize the 500 and not even a thank you, sis.
For me, where we are sitting.
Yes.
Nothing came in. We are relying on the evidence presented before us as a nation and the Matlanga Commission.
Mm.
There is nothing in what was presented before us.
Yes.
That says the 500 rand
was for the number.
Was for the number. That's the first part.
Mm.
And I said, you know, various platforms, I said to you on the radio and I said to Natasha, if you have received money from this person before, it's even better. Because you can say, but it's something we are accustomed to, we are used to.
Really bra.
Really bra, you understand? Mm. Personally, I've received money from years back. And Natasha, we've gone out as colleagues. I've sent money to her when I got unemployed. I've asked her for money.
Mm.
Now, people are, was I bribing her for any information? Was she bribing me for anything? Friends, I mean, does it mean now because people are implicated into corrupt activities, does it mean now that transactions or relationships we had with people previously, we are therefore guilty of corruption by association? I can imagine the number of people I've had drinks with, I've searched platform with, I've went out casually with, men and women, and today they are in the limelight or in the spotlight due to be alleged to have been involved in corrupt activities. And I said, how many people, me and you, we are in WhatsApp groups with people who have been in the spotlight? Imagine people going to those WhatsApp groups and say, hey, there's Fresh and Butang in that group, so therefore they are part of corruption. But I think what could happen in this instance, it's good that SABC will conduct an investigation, and it, that will give Ms. Piri an opportunity to come and say her side of the story. But I was just worried that the man who broke those news or who has brought this matter couldn't stand up and defend that, no, but the 500, I couldn't hear him denying, saying, no, but that 500 rand had nothing to do with exchanging the number.
So
the other challenge that came out of the Matlanga Commission, and this for me is very serious, he was asked, okay, after all that, you asked for a number from a friend who's a journalist, okay? After you received it, you went to share the docket of Mr. Musa Kaula. Not only with the people who were fighting Musa Kaula, but with even Ms. Piri.
Yes.
You went to share the docket because that's what he did.
Maybe he is also her informant and source. Because every journalist has a source.
Every policeman has an informant. Every journalist has a source. Every day. There's nothing wrong. It will be wrong if you bribe or you receive bribes for that. But there is nothing wrong to have an informant.
And also,
there's nothing wrong to have a source.
But also, is a docket not public? And dockets like accessible to the public?
Not until the matter is before the court.
Okay.
And the person has been before the court, the charges are read before
you've been
the
charged.
They've been charged, and we know we had the judge. Before that, it's confidential.
Okay.
So it also depends, when did he share the
docket? I was going to say, so the timing of the sharing?
The timing is very important, okay. To understand, yeah. So it's a wait and see again, another case. But you know what I think about this whole case? Have you noticed what is happening regarding the Matlanga thing, Fresh, and the ad hoc committee? People who are low-hanging fruits, who are at lower positions, sergeants, journalists here and there, are being brought before. People are focusing. We are a very sensational country. We are being, what do you call it, diverted or derailed from the bigger fish. I want to see people in higher positions, like it's happening with the police, When General Mkhwanazi on the 6th of July 2025 mentioned all this alleged corruption, criminal cartels, and alleged criminals and all that, he mentioned three. He said the police, the prosecution system, and the judicial system. I'm waiting until today to say we have heard and we have seen arrests, we have seen suspensions of the police from local Ekurhuleni to Tshwane to Joburg, everywhere, to constables and sergeants. We have seen that. We have seen security companies. We have seen the top brass of the police being mentioned and charged, suspended. We haven't heard or seen the Madlanga Commission bringing anybody from the National Prosecuting Authority or the judiciary, because they were mentioned.
Yes.
That's why the committee, the ad hoc committee, it's a tripartite committee, which had portfolio committees, SCOPA, and parliamentary committees of police on this thing. I want to know, who are the prosecutors in the NPA? And who are the magistrates or the judges in the NPA? For example, I'll use one example. Who gave Mr. Vusimusi Cat Matlana? 18 times he was investigated, at some time arrested, out on bail, facing prosecution 18 times over a period of years. And over 18 times, the docket will be removed by either the NPA or the magistrate or a judge. I want to arrive at a point to know why those prosecutors withdrew those dockets that the police had said that they are prosecutable. Then they themselves had said, we are taking you to court, we are prosecuting you, and the judge will dismiss it or withdraw or cancel bail. We want to arrive at this stage because it will give us a better picture who is who and who is involved.
Yes.
To go and focus that ethically, if Natasha Piri had received money as favors and giving info, ethically, it will be wrong.
Sure.
But to go and focus on a journalist for 500 rands when people have received 5 million and stomach burning pills and bombs worth 300,000, that's a bigger picture for me. What is it?
So you're saying the small fish are cute, but where are the big fish?
Yes, where are the big fish? Okay. I want to know which people in the judiciary, which people in the police were infiltrated. Because we may be sitting with those people.
We're almost out of time. And, yes, and we're chasing time because you've got a meeting.
Yes.
Let's talk Human Rights Month, Khoisan reburials. In a powerful act of restorative justice, President Ramaphosa officiated the reburial of 63 Khoi and San ancestral remains at the Kinderley Monument in Steinkop in Northern Cape. And also, it's Human Rights Month. Mm-hmm. And the other day during Human Rights Day or Sharpeville Day, depending on which side of Pan-Africanism you may sit. Yeah, we recalled that dreadful day. And on top of that, Ntate Sobukwe's family are complaining about the desecration of his gravesite.
Yes, sir.
And this has been happening on and on. 2001, 2010, 2023. And do you think it's do you think that targeting Sobukwe's gravesite, or it's just vandalism within cemeteries?
Now, Fresh, let me first start by saying, there's two things as a Pan-Africanist, and people may say, Botang, this is not your show, this is our show. Don't personalize it, the followers and viewers and subscribers. But there's two things that I don't compromise on. The so-called Human Rights Day. It's okay to have a Human Rights Day. But as a Pan-Africanist, I will still say call the day the Sharpeville Langa Day. And history, it's very written very clearly, and we shouldn't compromise on that. Because once we start calling this day a Human Rights Day on a Human Rights Month, it actually diverts attention for our kids and the future generation to know actually how was this day named, or how did it become that the 21st of March is Human Rights Day. So we shouldn't just sugarcoat it. We should be able to tell the truth of why the 21st of March. That's the first. The second part is I refuse to call the South African natives, the San people. I refuse to call them the Khoi people because it was a derogatory word that was used by the Dutch settlers when they met and encountered the natives here to say because of their clicking and the tongue, the Khoi, 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 because as they speak, it was coming from their tongue. So I will remain to call them the San people, like you can call the others Masawa or Barwa, which comes from the word ya Setswana, Barwa Re,
yes,
the, or Masaro, the people of the south.
Masaro.
You understand? So those are some of the things. But thumbs up to President Ramaphosa, thumbs up to Minister McKenzie, and I know people are going to say, you praising the two. Thumbs up to them for making sure that this process that was started years ago to can bring the mortal remains and anything else that was taken from us as a nation and as African people by the colonial settlers. I mean, we had some of the remains of the South African native sitting in some museum in Scotland.
At the University of Glasgow.
Yes. And to bring them back home and give them to those nations that are, you know, most of the time undermined. You know, the same people have leadership, their families, and their ancestors are being brought home. They've been saying, our ancestors are not resting.
Yes.
Maybe that's why we are even being denied equal status in this country to have the same language as the official language, to be recognized as the natives of the southern part of the continent and the actual landowners, the first inhabitants. But it's Africa as a continent. To bring them back home and rebury them or put them in museums in the Northern Cape with the participation of all the same people, whether they are from Botswana, Namibia, Northern Cape, Western Cape, Eastern Cape, because they were spread all over the southern part of the continent, it is a good thing.
Mm.
And it's happening at what they term the Human Rights Month.
So.
And I think we must applaud them for doing that. The only thing that I still want to see is to hold them accountable. You mean them, I'm referring to the colonizers, the British, the Scottish.
I smell reparations.
They're for reparations. And I'm saying this coincidentally, this past week, Ghana tabled a motion at the United Nations, which passed on Wednesday. The United Nations majority voted that the countries that colonizing was the most evil thing that has happened in the world against African people. Ghana tabled the motion. It got support. Now Ghana is saying all other African countries, let us not clap hands only because there's a resolution. Let them, one, apologize. Two, give reparations to African people. Those who were displaced, who became slaves in Latin America, in the Caribbean, and who want to come back home, let them aid those families to come back to their mother countries with reparations. And I think it was a good thing. The last thing you asked me was the Sobukwe vandalizing of the Sobukwe grave. You know what I said to the PAC leaders? I actually wrote on their page, maybe we don't need a tombstone for, and people were like, it's unlike you, for Sobukwe. I think Robert Mangalisa Sobukwe, or Prof as he will be called, the founder of Pan-Africanist Congress of Azania, deserves more fresh than just a mere street or a town called Rafrinet, where he was born and banished and died, to be named after him. Who goes to Rafrinet? Who knows Rafrinet? Sobukwe was an African power figure, a noble son who deserves more than a street or a town named after him. I'm not going to lament on insurgents and people destroying a tombstone, because it has been destroyed many times. You counted many years. I think we deserve much more. Sobukwe's voice was silenced by the apartheid government. It's silenced until today. Majority of African people, they don't even know who's Robert Sobukwe. Robert Sobukwe was isolated in Robben Island.
You'll rarely hear a clip of his voice.
No, it doesn't exist.
Exactly.
I'm a Pan-Africanist. I've digged. There's a whole library at Wits University. A whole library dedicated to Sobukwe, his speeches, his writings. Not a single voice of a man who was so outspoken. We have seen videos. We have heard people who were students in what you call the University of Fort Helen. Robert Mugabe, Nelson Mandela, many others who studied with Sobukwe there, and him addressing, you know, the then OAU, Organization of African Unity, him addressing, but nobody at our age has ever heard the voice of Sobukwe.
Yes.
Now, if we are going to focus on a tombstone only, which is good to have a tombstone of a leader of the African people, but for me, we need more. Let the ANC-led government or the GNU, which the PAC is part of the GNU now, go and find the records of Sobukwe's speeches, the voice, the recordings,
If historians don't have them, where do you think political types are going to find them?
They are there fresh. Trust me, they are there. They were, remember, there was a Sobukwe clause.
Yes.
In the South African apartheid parliament. A law passed in the in parliament for one man. When they passed that law, part of the decision was like, his voice must never be heard. I don't think they were destroyed. I don't think, I think they are hidden somewhere. But because Mangaliso Sobukwe was also a problem to the ANC, is to try and overshadow him.
Yeah, but you can't erase them from the history books.
You can't. It's impossible to erase Sobukwe. But I think the best thing that they can, instead of erasing the tombstone, is vandalize, and the Sobukwe Foundation and the family are said, give us the voices of Sobukwe. Let the nation and the people hear Sobukwe talking. You have voices of people who spoke before Sobukwe, politically. We have the voices of the Malcolm X's of this world. And many other leaders, you know, Amical Cabral, you know, long before Sobukwe. And then we don't have a voice of a man who was talking in the 70s, 60s and 70s. It's highly impossible. Let the South African government do one honorable thing towards Mangaliso Sobukwe. Go and release the tapes, the recordings, and the truth about Sobukwe so that the South Africans and Africans at large should know who is what Kwame Nkrumah termed the wonder boy of Africa.
Yes.
And I think that's the most honorable thing we can do for human rights.
Yes.
Because you surprise a man when he's alive, when he's in prison, even when he's dead. What are they fearing? As people ask, what is the world fearing about Sobukwe?
And on that note, you are late, so you need to leave.
Thank you, Fresh.
So I'm going to let you go. Where do we find you on social media?
BotsangM@gmail.com for giving me work. Can email me that contract at BotsangM on social media to continue this discussion and debate. I would like to continue. And then if you want to engage personally, I'm on WhatsApp on +27 83 884 7787. Thank you, Fresh.
And we're done. Thank you for being a part of Wow, What a Week. #Politrix coming to you from Discover TV, let them be your stage. Thank you to Trevor and his crew at Pezulu Works for all of the cinematography. Keletso Modisa King is our executive producer, and you are incredible for being a part of this. Thank you for your comments, for subscribing, for liking, and for sharing the links with your loved ones and lovers of all things politics and geopolitics. Until next week, have a wow week in spite of yourselves. We're out of here.